Okay, as we are answering Shaba's questions, we have Shaba on the phone. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum.
Thank you, Jazakallah khair, for answering my questions. But Sheikh, my question was about dam. Like, we don't know, like, we have committed some, we have not done correctly the Hajj, so we intended to give dam. Now, my question was, I want to know when we should give dam. Whether it is before the coming of the next Hajj, or any time we can give dam. That was my question. And my second question is, Sheikh, in India, there is the night of Shab-e-Barat, like on 14th of Shaban evening, we pray three times Surah Yasin, and then whole night we pray Namaz, and the next day we keep up Roza, like fasting. So is it, what recommendation is it here? Like, is it halal, or should we do, or should we not practice? Because we are not doing anything wrong. We are praying the Quran and we are praying Salah. So why is it wrong? If we pray, we get so much reward. Like Alif Lam Mim, we are getting 30 rewards. And when we are praying Quran and Namaz, why is it wrong that we should not pray on this night? Please kindly explain to me. Jazakallah khair.
Okay.
It sounded like this phone call was engineered because we were just answering some of her left questions. And now she calls. And it does sound to me that, you know, the answer for the second question, because you're saying that, why is it wrong? So it's like you understand that there's something wrong with it. Anyway, the two questions are related to each other.
Yes.
In a sense that she's asking, and this is a very, very common practice amongst a great sect of pilgrims who perform Hajj or Umrah. They say, just in case, I may have done any violation, so let me give a dam, which refers to the fidya, the ransom, not the hadi or the sacrifice. Just in case, I may have done any violation, argued or removed some hair, or forgetfulness. That does not fit in any chapter of fiqh. That's not recognized by any scholar, period. Why? Whenever you do any act of worship in Islam, that act of worship or this ibadah has a name. I'm giving this, that's why I explained in detail. There's something called Hajj. And there is something called Udhiyya. And there is something called Fidya for a deliberate mistake or a violation or misdaq wajib in Hajj or Umrah that you're making. Besides that, you have to find a name or a title for the sacrifice or for the animal you slaughter. Not just simply because you have some money and you want to slaughter. I even mentioned the fourth category, which is give as a mean of charity. Okay, that's fine. But to give in the name of making up or correcting a mistake which you may have done, which you don't know, does not fit and is not accepted. Why? Because when it comes to an act of worship, it has to be stated. Such an act is a burden that you're putting in yourself. You're offering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala something and you don't know what is it for. You're not sure. If you're certain that you have made or committed any violation in Hajj which requires the fidya, you have to do it. If not, then you want to give a sacrifice just for the sake of Allah to distribute it upon the poor, you may. But just in case I may have done anything wrong, no. That is actually a wrong practice. Why is it related to the second question? Because similarly, every act of worship in Islam, we have to find it in the text, either in the Quran or in the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the people of the scripture asked one of the companions that your religion is so amazing. How? It did not leave anything, but it taught you about it. He said, no wonder. It taught us even how to answer the call of nature. How to urinate, how to defecate, what to say before entering the bathroom, what to say upon leaving the bathroom, and how to sit down and how to urinate, everything in details. It's not a religion which was stated or revealed to teach people how to pray in places of worship and that's it. No, it regulates every aspect in their life. How to embrace your wife, how to raise your children, how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed and perfected this message and this religion, it's not up to anyone to invent, to suggest, or to say that it's a good thing. Why is it wrong? Because if it is not stated, then I won't do it. Before, I remember we discussed the hadith of three companions who were very devoted, who loved the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you and I. Actually, they were worried that they would not be with him in the same rank in paradise. So they wanted to compete with him when they figured out that his salah is such and such, his fasting is such and such. So they suggested, the first one said that, I should pray all night long on every single night. And the second suggested that, and from now on, I'm going to observe fasting on every single day. Not a day that I will skip. Fasting every day. And the third suggested that I will never get married. I'm just a monk. The Prophet ﷺ heard of them. So he invited them and he said that, by Allah, I am the most beloved one of all of you to Allah. And I fear Allah more than any of you. However, I pray and I rest. I fast some days and I skip some days. And I'm married as you see. Whoever turns away from my sunnah does not belong to me. So he considered suggesting, inventing anything as a mean of active worship in Islam that is turning away from the message and the traditions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can just say for any new addition, and I always like to give this example. You're saying that, why is it wrong? It's a prayer. It's a supplication. Correct. From now on, I'm going to pray Maghrib 4 rak'ahs. Why? Because I feel that Maghrib, poor Maghrib, is only 3 rak'ahs versus Asr and Isha, 4 rak'ahs. No. I'm going to be better than anybody else, and I will just pray Maghrib 4 rak'ahs. I'm doing something extra. Is my extra ibadah accepted? Not only that, the ibadah itself will be neglected because you've changed in the prescription of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the hadith which were narrated concerning the middle of Sha'ban and so on, and by the way, that word is a Persian word, which describes the sacredness of the time. All the hadith narrated concerning the virtues of the night of Sha'ban are all fabricated or weak. We do not rely on weak nor fabricated hadith in our acts of worship. Why? Because we're already having loads and books, hundreds of thousands of hadith concerning what to do and what not to do of the authentic one. Had you fulfilled all of them, I would say maybe that there is plenty of time to invent. But you did not even perform what's mandatory and what's correct yet. So stick to the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as far as fasting the middle of Sha'ban. It is a tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to observe fasting 3 days of every lunar calendar, which are known as the white days, الثلاثة أيام البيض. Why? Because the moon will be close to fullness, so the night will be white. 13th, 14th, and 15th. If this is your tradition, and you happen to be fasting, and you fast the 15th as well, may Allah bless you for that. If you happen to be one of those who observe fasting on Mondays and Thursdays regularly, and the 15th happens to be on either one of these 2 days, fine. As long as you do not specify this day with a specific act of worship, because it is not stated. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, and he is the deliverer of the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was not observed, was not heard, it was not reported about him that he specified the day with fasting because it is the middle of Sha'ban, nor did he specify the night of Sha'ban by extra prayers or extra recitation. We have to understand that the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to follow and not to innovate. Pray on every single night if you wish, but specifying a particular night of the week or the month with extra ibadah which was not stated nor recommended would put you in a violation, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows if that will be accepted or not. Wallahu a'lam.